Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know the old adage, never give up on your dream? Well, my next guest is the epitome of that, Kent Broussard. He's a 66-year-old tuba-playing LSU band member as a freshman, and he joins us. Kent, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Newell, first of all, thank you very much for having me on the show, and I'm humbled and honored to be talking to the WWL team as well as all the listeners. I've been a WWL fan since the late 60s when I used to listen to all the Saints games before the NFL. Yep. And you guys have done an awesome job for decades and continue the good work.
Well, Kent, I got to tell you, you've been an inspiration to a lot of people to never give up on your dream. So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, tell us how this all started for you.
Right. For many years, we had season tickets to the LSU games, and it all started back around 1968, 1969, when we first started going to LSU games. And at the time, I was really interested in football, but then all of a sudden, I would hear the band, and it caught my attention, the sound, the orchestral view that they gave to the fans, and how much the fans really enjoyed the music that they played. And it always stuck with me, back from 1968. And I never lost that passion for music. I actually played in the high school band and then at college at Southeastern, and always had that in the back of my mind that it's something that I wanted to do. Obviously, you know, life gets in the way. I got married, right. Then had children, and had a real long career, in the work world. And I've had the opportunity to do this after I retired.
And did you always play the tuba?
I did initially in high school. I played it for 4 years, and then I played it for 2 years at Southeastern, and then I played the trumpet for 2 years at Southeastern in my final junior and senior years. But the sousaphone was always the first love. It's always got that bass. It's always got that bass sound. And when the bass is not there, the music just sounds hollow. And I love that. And I love that bass sound.
Well, you know, it's interesting about the sousaphone players. To me, they were always the most dominant presence in the band, right? As the band's marching anywhere, especially like during Mardi Gras or otherwise.
Yeah, that's definitely still the case today, particularly because of the presence. You know, the size mm-hmm. of the bells and just the size of the general instrument, and you know, and when you're playing with several hundred other bandmates, it just blends and it sounds really full and gives a great sound if you can if you don't overplay. And you know, and we try not to do that here, and we try to blend all of the sound in to make it the sound that everyone has come to love and admire over the decades.
So, Kent, you register for school again. I made a promise to myself that I would never go back to school, but maybe I should not say that.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Yes, I had to register for school. I did. I had to register for school. But there were a lot of other hurdles that I had to cross. I had to make sure that I was eligible, right? I had to make sure that I was eligible for Tiger Band, and I found out that I was. Then I had to apply for school, and the first hurdle was my transcripts from Southeastern. And that was from 1981 and 1982. So I called Southeastern kind of laughingly, do you guys even have transcripts from that long ago? And sure enough, they did. And they were able to provide the transcripts to LSU. And luckily, my application was accepted, which was a big hurdle in and of itself. LSU, from what I understand, had around 70,000 applications for the freshman class, and I think they had like 7,800 slots. So the fact that I was even accepted was a big hurdle for me to be able to cross.
Right. So then you let the band, I guess it's a competition, right, to some extent.
Well,
you go out and you try out for the football team.
It is an audition process. So what happens is you send in a first audition tape, and they will tell you whether or not you made it past the first round. And if you make it past the first round here at LSU, then you're invited to what they call preseason camp. And during the preseason camp is where they do really comprehensive evaluations, not just on your playing, but on your marching, your sight reading, and just your overall cultural fit. Because as in every business and professional organization like the band is, they have a culture that they're trying to maintain and to make sure that everyone fits. And so basically it was a 5-day audition process. Even though all of the playing and the marching took place in one day, it was just getting to know everyone and getting to understand what each person was about during those 5 days.
So, Kent, I guess nobody actually looked at you, right, when you walked in.
You
didn't get a single look, did you?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's like, you know, I've had people ask me if I'm a teacher and I'm just taking classes, or what am I doing? Am I just auditing? Am I auditing a band class or am I auditing classes? And no, I am a student. I am a full 100% student. I am actually talking to you right now from right outside the union. I have class in less than an hour, and I've got work like everybody else.
So you walk in, nobody's looking at you. Well, I mean, what was the reaction?
And this is important to me. I'm trying just to be one of the team, because I am,
sure.
You know, I didn't do this for individual attention. I did it because I love the sound, and I love the fact that the students come together as a group, and it's not just the band that works hard. It is the color guard and it's the Golden Girls that actually work for months. And most of these band guys and gals work for years to get to this point. And
yeah,
people just don't see all the work that goes into it. So I'm just trying to fit in. I'm trying to be a part of the team, and you know, I'm offering to do things that regular band people do. And so I'm just trying to be a part of that team and just trying to blend in as much as I can. As you can about imagine, that's not as easy as it may seem currently.
But you really, it's got to be such a ride, and you are an inspiration. So let's fast forward. First home game. You're coming down the hill. You nervous?
You know, I was not nervous to the extent that I thought I was going to be, and this is why the staff at LSU does a great job at getting the band, the color guard, and the Golden Girls really ready for marching down the hill, as well as the halftime shows and the pregame shows. And
well, for me, if I miss the pregame salute, I just soon miss the game.
Well, that's what a lot of people think.
Without that, it's like, you know, if I got held up in traffic, it's like, oh man, I just ought to just turn around, go home and watch it on TV.
Yeah, well, you know what? You can still get the pregame salute on the march down Victory Hill, and that's, you know, that was the epitome for me, and I'm trying to concentrate, right? So I'm concentrating, and I'm hearing people talk, you know, call my name out as I'm walking down the hill because they can see me. I'm all the way on the right hand side, so I'm up against the curb, and I'm trying to keep a straight face and trying to stay focused for the task at hand. And I think it did a pretty good job, but that's the key, right? Everybody has a job to do, and I'm no different. And I'm there just as one of 325. And, I want to make the band look good and sound good. And hopefully we've been able to do that so far.
So to put this in context, just so everybody recognizes this, this dream started in 1968. You were about what, 10?
About 12
years old.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in 2025. And, you know, and And I got to imagine, I get chills down my spine when y'all do the pregame salute still. And that's...
And by the way, so do I.
Yeah.
By the way.
You know, and in fact, in preparation for this today, I watched the pregame salute 3 times last night. Just, you know, I could have watched it once.
And
I'm going to watch this again. I watched it again.
It is the sound. That the band is known for, and to be able to make that sound on a consistent basis for all the decades. And, you know, it's just synonymous with Tiger fans, and it hasn't wavered. If you think about it, that sound has not wavered. And I'm just happy and glad to be a part of that, for this fall semester.
So let me ask this, not to belabor the point, but so you do, you come down the hill, that's one experience, but when you get into Death Valley, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's rushing to get to their seats for the pregame salute. I mean, it's like a mad day. You know, you did it for years as a fan.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. Certainly did.
And, you know, you're there in the end zone. Are you looking around and just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to – like, again, I was focused and really trying to keep my attention on the task at hand. And at least for this game, I was not on the field for the pregame salute, but hopefully I'll be on the pregame salute field in the future. But just the overall experience in Tiger Stadium from a band perspective, it's different. It's a different feel, because people respond to what we do, particularly the student section. You know, that's incredible. The student section's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good feeling to be able to do something that, you know, that I heard it.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And people respond to, and I thoroughly enjoyed being up in the stands with the bandmates and listening to us play as a group and watching the Color Guard and watching the Golden Girls dance for the full game. And let me tell you, we don't stop. We do not stop. I don't know how many songs we played for the first game, but it was numerous, and it was a long day, but. But it was a rewarding day because that was the first time, and that's always something special.
Kent, let's be honest here. It must have been hard for you to play that instrument because you had to wipe the smile off your face, right?
Well, it is, and like I said, I need to stay focused, and there were a couple of times that I probably cracked. From people that I knew that were calling my name, but in all fairness, trying to stay focused is the main thing, you know, and keep your mind on the task at hand, and just remember your training. That's the most important thing. Remember all the times we've gone through it and what to do and how to do it, and when everybody does it right, it looks fantastic, and so so I look forward to continuing to do that. For the rest of the season.
No doubt. You are a testament to never give up on your dream. You never know when the opportunity is going to present itself to, you know, to fulfill it. And you are. And I got to tell you, the community, I think, is responding in just an unbelievable way. I was telling my coffee group this morning that I was going to interview you today, because they always ask me, who you got today? I said, you know, I got Kent Broussard, the 66-year-old tuba player that's living out his dream. And they're like, oh, my God, I got to listen to that. You know what I mean? Everybody's excited for you. And they're all pulling
that.
For you.
You know what? I appreciate that. And, you know, I think the outgrowth of me doing this, Newell, is a couple of things. One, you know, as you get as people get to retirement age or close to retirement age, take a look at what I'm doing. And, you know, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, but I tried. And as I say, the only failure that you have is not trying. and it was worth it. It's certainly worth the effort, and hopefully people are seeing that, and maybe somebody's going to do something that they've always wanted to do because they're seeing my story. On the other end of the spectrum are the young people. If they see me doing this kind of stuff at my age, maybe some young people might want to do some things that they have ideas about, like, say, develop an app or start a business or something like that, that they may want to do and give it a shot. And again, in their case, the only failure is not trying.
No doubt. What an inspiration. Kent Broussard, best of luck to you, and I look forward to seeing you down on the field.
I do too. Hopefully sometime this season I'll be able to get there.
Well, congratulations to you. We are so excited for you, so excited for LSU, and more importantly, all of your fellow band members, so excited for them. Because, you know, you get to tell the story of exactly how much work it truly is.
Yeah.
Folks, when Kent trained to do this, he ran 25 miles a week. He started lifting weights about 6 months before. Did a whole lot of prep for this. This is not easy work. These kids put in a lot of work, a lot of commitment, and you're a testament to them as well, Ken.
Great. Thank you for that. And you're exactly right. It is a 100% team effort. I am just one of the team.
Congratulations again, and have a great season. Kent Broussard from the Fighting Tiger Band. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We know that the holiday shopping season is important to the local economy and the national economy. And yes, we are only in the second week of September. And yes, we are talking about it because that's how important it is. We are joined by Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst at Bankrate.com. They just had their early holiday shopping survey, and he's going to share the results with us. Ted, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So, Ted, let's start off this way, if you don't mind. How important is that holiday shopping season to our economy?
It's really important to the retail industry. I mean, consumer spending in general powers about two-thirds of economic growth. But, you know, there is that whole adage about how Black Friday represents when retailers start to get back into the black, as in into profitability for the year. Now, the season has crept earlier. Black Friday basically starts in October now, when we talk about Amazon Prime Day and Target Circle Week and Walmart's holiday deals kick off and all these events that usually start in early October now. This is a change that's really evolved mostly in the last 5 years, and it adds up to about half of holiday shoppers beginning before the end of October.
Ted, in my household, Black Friday started in January, right after the holidays. We're early.
That's earlier than most.
my wife doesn't miss any opportunities. Not at all. She's going to kill me for saying that, too, by the way. But anyway.
You know, so I actually like the early start. I think it's an opportunity for people to spread out their cash flow. Even if you think this whole thing is crazy and we haven't even really put summer to rest and we just started football season and why are we talking about Christmas shopping? If nothing else, my advice would be start planning now. Set money aside from every paycheck. You probably still have 7 or 8 paychecks between now and the end of the year. Build that holiday fund. I mean, even if you just save $100 from each one, that's money that can hopefully avoid you going into credit card debt. It gives you more time to spread out your cash flow, find the best deals. Really, that's what this is all about, is planning in advance and making good decisions.
And there are some legitimate concerns, right? I got to imagine the survey revealing people worried about pricing. You know, we've been talking about tariffs now for, 2 months, 3 months, and you know, waiting to see what's going to happen. We're getting a lot of economic data. What are folks' respondents thinking?
About 4 in 10 holiday shoppers are concerned that holiday gifts will be more expensive this year. Tariffs are certainly the elephant in the room. I mean, to be fair, we haven't really seen prices move that much just yet. The bark has been worse than the bite. It's certainly weighing on consumer sentiment. We know from the Conference Board and the University of Michigan and all these surveys, consumer sentiment is down. In terms of actual prices, the inflation numbers really haven't been that bad. Now, some of that is because the tariffs were delayed and retailers brought merchandise in early. There was a big rush at the ports to get in before these tariffs hit. And I feel like at least for the holiday season, retailers have these items generally on hand, and they're going to be selling them more or less at pre-tariff pricing. Some retailers have also cut into profit margins to absorb some of the higher costs, and that's easier for the big guys to do. It's harder for the smaller businesses. But so far, I would say that the concern has been worse than the actual impact on the shelves.
How much do you think that this perception will impact? I mean, you know, and thwart people from spending what they would typically spend? Because a lot of folks, it's just, you know, they once they get a thought in their mind, it doesn't go away.
We have seen gloomy consumer sentiment for the past several years. I mean, really, consumer sentiment has never fully recovered from the pandemic. And yet, the last 5 years, the economy's been growing, the job market's been pretty good. I would expect another holiday season where growth more or less matches the inflation rate. That's what we've seen the past few years. It's not going to be a blockbuster for retailers, but it's far from a disaster also. I would expect something like 3% growth from last year, which is pretty much in line with inflation. People are spending. Some of it is because things cost more. Some of it's because the unemployment rate is still low. I mean, people do have more purchasing power than they may feel. I'm not saying it's easy. I mean, I know everything is expensive, but people are going to spend around the holidays. Retailers are going to have to bend a little bit. They're going to have to offer discounts. I do think buyers have a bit of the upper hand, very similar to what we saw the last couple of years. You're going to see those 30, 40, 50% off sales really starting in early October and lasting through the holiday. We can use that to our advantage as consumers.
Yeah. And the generations, the Gen Xers, Gen Ys, and the millennials, they all kind of view this a little bit differently, right, as to how they're going to manage their money through that holiday season?
That's right, yeah. We do see that older generations are a little bit more likely to be concerned about the expense. That jives with our understanding that more boomers are on a fixed income and inflation hits them harder. You know, generally speaking, it's boomers, it's Gen Xers who are a little bit more concerned. It's not a huge gap. Gen Xers are actually the group with the most credit card debt. Some of that's because they're living expensive years, still caring for their own kids, maybe at the same time that they're caring for older parents, and they've still got the mortgage. And, you know, boomers are feeling a little bit better about some of these things if their kids are grown and the house is paid off. But to be sure, I mean, throughout the generations, there are different financial pressures at different times. Gen Zers, of course, are wrestling with student loans and high housing costs. And, you know, millennials, a lot of them have young kids and childcare is expensive. So, you know, I don't need to tell anybody that life can be expensive. But, you know, the advice here is just plan ahead. And as the joke goes, Christmas comes at the same time every year. Well, Set aside that holiday fund now and, you know, save that money from every paycheck. Get prepared. Get the budget together, even if you're not ready to start buying. And try to stack discounts, too. Combine these store promos with a rewards credit card that you hopefully pay off right away. Use an online shopping portal like Rakuten. Use Amex offers and Chase offers and those other digital coupons. You could combine all four of those strategies on the same purchase.
What is the average interest rate that you're seeing on credit card today?
The average is just over 20%. It's 20.12, wow, to be technical. Now, it's even higher than that for store cards. A lot of store cards charge 30 or 35%. So that's definitely something to be aware of this holiday shopping season. If a retailer dangles their credit card, just know that that's really expensive. I mean, of course, you can avoid interest on all these cards by paying in full. That may be easier said than done. About half of cardholders carry debt from month to month. If you have credit card debt, try not to add to it around the holidays and get a 0% balance transfer card. There are cards like the U.S. Bank Shield Visa that allow you to avoid interest for up to 24 months. So you sign up for a new card, you move your debt over. Just be disciplined about paying it back, because once the term ends, then the rate goes way up.
Yeah, and that's why these stores offer 10, 15, 20% discounts when, you know, if you sign up for their credit card and, you know, you put those purchases on there, because they, you know, at 20-something percent or even higher interest, they get it back on in the first month.
They do. There's an industry saying that credit cards are like power tools, as in really useful or dangerous. It's all about how you use them. And it's really borne out in discussions like this. I mean, if you pay your cards right away, you get rewards, you get all these buyer protections, life is great. And I have a coworker who saved a lot of money with one of those store cards because he was doing a renovation, he bought all these appliances, and you get 20% off and you pay it off right away, and that's just pure profit. But if you're financing those things at 30%, your 20% discount doesn't look so great anymore. It's just really important. And I realize, you know, it's not rocket science. It's like, well, of course, nobody wants to be in credit card debt. Life happens. I mean, you get into credit card debt for medical bills, car repairs, groceries, things like that. It does bring me back, though, to the importance of planning ahead. And if you save $100 a paycheck between now and the end of the year, you could have close to $1,000 in a holiday gift fund, and then you're not going into debt. And maybe you are in a position to use a credit card for the rewards, not for the financing.
And one of the quickest ways to impact your own personal little economy, you know, that you're running around your house, is the appropriate management of credit card debt, right?
Credit card debt, for sure. Also, buy now, pay later. I feel like that's very relevant here. Companies like Affirm, Afterpay, Klarna, they've been growing about 10%, even a little more than 10% annually now. It's a big deal around the holidays. I mean, we hear...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
About these millions and even billions of dollars that are getting financed through these plans. Sometimes that works for you. Maybe it's 4 interest-free payments over 6 weeks. Maybe it's even longer. You just have to think about the total cost of ownership. There are certainly temptations to spend, especially around the holidays. There are a few traps you can fall into. Like we mentioned, store cards, buy now, pay later. Just make sure you're using it responsibly. If you only look at the biweekly installments, sometimes you kind of trick yourself into spending more than you thought. It's sort of the whole infomercial thing about like 4 easy payments of $39.99. Think about that total cost and don't just look at the installments.
No, for sure. Always great information and always great advice as well. The takeaway here is you just got to be smart about it. You got to think it through, right?
That's right. And plan ahead. You know, really use this time to your advantage. A month from now, all these sales events are going to be underway. You can use that to your advantage to save money. Just make sure you're not overspending and make sure that you've set some money aside for the holidays.
Ted, as always, we appreciate your time, your insight. Thank you so much for joining us. Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst at Bankrate.com. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We have a traffic update for those of you traveling to the North Shore. The Causeway northbound bridge is closed at the present time due to an accident. So we wanted to make sure that you are aware of that. And if we get any further information or details about the northbound bridge, we will be sure to give it to you as soon as we receive it. And I just want to remind you that we've been inviting folks to join Odyssey and WWL for another I'm Listening special that focuses on all matters of mental health on World Suicide Prevention Day, which is today. The show features some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. It's hosted by Carson Daly with Katie Neal, Dr. Alfie Breland Noble, and the Chief Medical Officer at the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Dr. Christine Moutier. There will also be appearances like Cynthia Erivo, Kane Brown, Neo, and lots more. The mission is to spread awareness about mental health, and the message is it's okay to not be okay. And please join us for Odyssey's mental health special, I'm Listening, tonight here on WWL and the free Odyssey app, because talk can save lives. You know, it's interesting. I don't know about you. I really enjoyed the interview that I had with Kent Broussard. He's the 66-year-old sousaphone player with the LSU Fighting Tiger Band. Got a bunch of great text. One here, I have his picture on my desk to remind me that at 58, I can still fulfill my dream. Another person says, I'm 72 and still trying to decide what I want to be when I grow up. Well, there's hope for you, you know, and Kent is living proof of that. You should have had Kent Broussard for the whole hour. I have so many questions to ask about the LSU band, and I would love to thank him. I was about to give up on my dream until his story. Awesome story. This gentleman is the Rudy of tuba players. Go Tigers. You know, it was really interesting how he is going to, he really is an inspiration to so many, that you never give up on your dream. You never know when the opportunity will present itself. I mean, this is a man who actually has 2 degrees from college, right? Worked all his life. I think I know who his employer was, retires, and then decides that, you know, thinking back to this time that he was about 10 years old and how he was moved by the Tiger Band, you know, and I mean it when I say it. I still get chills down my spine when, you know, they're doing the pregame salute and touchdown for LSU and, you know, the whole pomp and circumstance of it all. And so many others do as well. I mean, I was always part of that mad dash to get into the stadium to be able to see that. And, you know, and for him to tell this story was really compelling. And I tell you, he took it serious. I mean, he worked hard to put himself in a position to do it. Registers for school again. I think he's taken 12 hours this semester. I couldn't have him for an hour because he had to get to class. He was in front of the UC when he was talking to us on the interview. So this is the real deal, you know. And it's amazing. And I'm glad that he's bringing a lot of attention to the LSU band and to the young men and women that are still really involved in their music and how hard it is to participate with the band. It's a huge sacrifice, and it's a great opportunity for them, but it's a lot of hard work, and it just doesn't come easy. And it's really a shame because we are suffering at the high school level, as it relates to a lot of the music programs that used to be so robust at that level, and you don't see it anymore, and you don't see the participation like you used to as well. And maybe his story will change that too. We'll see. We'll be right back, folks. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, there is amazing video that was shown on Capitol Hill yesterday of this missile from a U.S. jet bouncing off an object. They didn't know what the object was. It was basically a UFO. And they fired this missile at it, and there's video showing the rocket bouncing off this object. And, you know, kind of interesting to think about all the things that we worry about on this planet. There could be people on another planet, if they really wanted to do us harm, if they've got craft that we can't even shoot out of the sky, that's kind of scary. So we'll talk about UFOs, always a fascinating topic. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has once again brought up the idea that violent video games might be the cause of the rise of mass shootings in America. I find this to be deplorable, and we'll talk about this on the show. And we just have a lot to get to. Also, in Las Vegas. Now, when I go to Vegas, I lose money. I'm not a gambler. I mean, I gamble a little bit here and there. But I lose money on the buffets. But the buffets are apparently dying in Vegas for younger, cooler food options. catering to a younger generation. Man, I don't want anything to happen to those buffets in Vegas because, I mean, that's one of the main reasons to go, right?
It certainly was the big motivator for many.
I mean, that's how I lose money in Vegas, on the buffets.
Yeah. On the buffets. There you go. Maybe you should jump to the slot machine, Scoot.
Maybe I'll lose
next,
less.
Folks, stay tuned.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.